Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم پڑھیے الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله A very beautiful hadith that has been quoted in Musnad Imam Ahmad, hadith number 16,352. The hadith is that one morning the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was so cheerful, so happy, and the signs of happiness were evident on his face. Now the companions, they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a smile, and they said that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you began the day this morning with a joyful smile. We see signs of happiness on your face. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Allah sent me a message that when a member of your ummah sends a durood upon you once, Allah shall write 10 good deeds for that person. Durood-e-Pak, how many times? One, but you get 10 good deeds. Allah will remove 10 of his sins, raise them by 10 ranks, and send as much mercy upon the person. So, Pyar Islam Bhaiyo, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we get the opportunity to recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the scholars, they say that no matter what a person is doing, if you're walking, if you're standing, if you're sitting, if you're laying down, try to keep on reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then not only that, try to take time out. You know, we're very busy in our life. We're very, very busy. If you talk to people, they say, I haven't got time to go home. Yeah, whatever we do in our life, no matter how busy we are in our daily routines, we should try to take time out. You know, just like we take time out, we got it written down that I've got to go to work this morning from this time to that time. In that busy schedule, try to put some time in there that this is the time that I will recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I always keep saying this, that when you recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one important thing that will help you is this magic thing here. You know, if you have a tasbih in your hands, or it could be this one, or it could be the digital one, you are bound to recite durood-e-paak. Ye aapko padhayegi durood-e-paak. To Pyare Islam Bhaiyo, try to keep a tasbih with you all the time and try to recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You do the zikr azkar. Let me tell you about a person that I met. You know, same, I was talking to him, and I said to him that, how many times have you recited durood-e-paak today? And he goes, to be honest with you, I forgot. So I gave him a tofa, a tasbih, and I goes, you know what, keep this with you and try to recite if you can. Not during the bayan. I told him not to recite during the bayan. And he got the tasbih, and Alhamdulillah, I met him after 4 or 5 days. You know what he said? He says, Alhamdulillah, I've made my habit to recite 1200 a day. So inshallah, Azza wa Jal, if you have a tasbih, you will recite durood-e-paak, and inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you will do the zikr of Allah, Azza wa Jal. Iske liye, Pyare Sambhaiyo, you have to make a habit of this. Iski aadat banani padegi, you'll have to make a habit. Once you're in that habit, in that routine, no one will have to remind you, you will automatically recite durood-e-paak, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Sayyiduna Yaqub ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, who was also, his children were known as Bani Israel. You know, whenever in the Quran you read Ya Bani Israel, Bani Israel, Israel was another name of Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam. So Allah Azza wa Jal is addressing Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam's children. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says to the Bani Israel, وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not enshroud the truth, yani cover the truth with falsehood, and do not conceal the truth knowingly. In this verse, the Bani Israel were told two things. They were told two things. Number one, to not mix truth with falsehood and not to hide the truth. Not to mix truth with falsehood and not to hide the truth. The word haq is used twice in this verse. Commentators, the mufassir of the Quran, they explain what this means. They say, Na'tu Muhammadin fit Tawrat. The word haq here refers to praise of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Allah revealed in the Torah. Yani the people, they were told that, O people of Bani Israel, O children of Bani Israel, do not hide the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you know, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been praised by every single prophet of the time that came. Every single prophet talked about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the mention and the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been mentioned in the Torah, in the Injil, in the Zabur as well. There's a very beautiful incident, I'll mention that before I continue. A person, whenever he would open the Torah, he would read the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mare pyare aqa alayhi salatu wa salam ka naam-e paak jab wo padhta tha, he would be so engrossed in love that he would kiss the name Muhammad and put on his eyes. To is tarah pyare aqa alayhi salatu wa salam ki mohabbat uske dil mein hoti thi. Now when that person died, Bani Israel threw his body into the rubbish truck. Jahan kooda bhejte the, kachra bhejte the, his body was thrown in the rubbish. Allah Azza wa Jal ordered Musa alayhi salatu wa salam that, O Musa, go and get his body, wash him and bury him respectfully. Now can you imagine the people, they know, they knew him. He was such a bad person. Yani gunegar shakhs tha, bura shakhs tha. And he was surprised that, Ya Allah, why have you told me to bathe this person and bury him respectfully? So after he done everything, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that, O Musa, whenever he would read the Torah and he would read the name of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would kiss the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and rub on his eyes. Sirf usi muhabbat ki wajah se, O Musa, I have forgiven him and I have granted him paradise. A pyare Islam bhaiyo, kitna pyara waqia hai. The scholars, they say that this person was not an ummati of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ye ummati tha Musa alayhi salatu wa salam ka. And because he praised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hamare Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam ko uska zikr kiya, muhabbat ki, Allah Azza wa Jal forgave him, granted him paradise. Now what if a Muslim who loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who reads the kalima of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart, his sins will not only be forgiven, he will be granted paradise as well. So apne dil mein pyare aqa alayhi salatu wa salam ki mahabbat ye hamesha honi chahiye. Aur yaad rakhiye pyare Islam bhaiyo, without the love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that namaz is not a namaz. Ye ulama ikram farmate hain ke jis dil mein pyare aqa alayhi salatu wa salam ki mohabbat nahi hai, wo namaz namaz nahi hai. That even if you are fasting in the month of Ramadan, that is not the same fast that you were prescribed to do so, because everything boils down to the love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Azza wa Jal in the Torah, he mentions that, O Bani Israel, do not hide the praise of my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Bani Israel, they believed in the Torah, a book containing immense praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were commanded not to mix falsehood with praise, nor to hide it. they were instructed to praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as possible. When Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came, he didn't say that there will be a prophet after me. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Quran Pak mein aata hai, he even mentioned the name Mim ba'dismuhu Ahmad. His name will be Ahmad. Imam Hakim, he writes in his Mustadrak that the fourth Khalif of Islam, Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, he says, a man from the Bani Israel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accepted Islam. After that, he recited a part of the Torah in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you are described in the Torah like this. Yani in the Torah mein pyare aqa alaihi salatu wasalam ka zikr kis tarah likha hai? Torah mein likha hai, Muhammad bin Abdullah will be born in Mecca. He shall migrate to Taiba and his kingdom shall be in Syria. Ye pyare aqa alaihi salatu wasalam ka tazkira Torah sharif mein hai. To pyare islam bhaiyo, it's not just the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been praised. He has been praised in all of the books in of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, let's understand the meaning. Three things were mentioned. Teen cheeze yahan par Torah mein, they were mentioned. Number one, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be born in Mecca. This is simple to understand. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will migrate from Mecca to Medina. His kingdom and rule will be over Syria. Now, even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Syria was not conquered. Us waqt tak Syria jo aaj mulk e sham hai us par musalmanon ka qabza nahi tha, lekin isme mulk e kya likha hai ki his kingdom will be over the country of Syria. Yani mulk e sham jo tha in the olden days, mulk e sham is known as Syria, Jordan, Palestine, and all of these other countries. They were all known as Balad-e-Sham. And this mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have the kingdom of all of these areas. Now, what happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he passed away from this world? Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the Khalif. When he left, Hazrat Umar bin Khattab, when he left, Sayyidina Usman Ghani, when he left, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then at the time of Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Syria was conquered. Now, in the Torah, it mentions that Syria will be the kingdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, through Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah Azza wa Jal gave rulership to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, pyare Islam bhaiyo, Hazrat Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he plays a very significant role in Islam. He is a very important figure in the role of Islam. He was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so many ahadith praise him and mention his virtues. Let me just mention a few of them. Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the closest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the second thing we learn is that Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reached to the rank of Fana Fir Rasul. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of them, Fana Fir Rasul. The third thing is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Torah, whilst the kingdom of Muawiyah was mentioned, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, وَتَقْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, and do not conceal the truth knowingly. This means we must not conceal the Prophet's praise as mentioned in the Torah, but proclaim and publicize them. When we discuss the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Torah, we say, وَمُلْكُهُ بِالشَّامِ, joyfully. But who is also being praised, whose kingdom is also being described? This is none other than Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After the four Khalifs of Islam and Sayyiduna Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then you had kings that ruled the Muslims. In the Quran, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا, then if they believe the way you have believed, they have attained guidance. In Tafsir-e-Na'imi, it explains this verse. Those who accept Islam until the day of judgment and believe in Allah, His messengers, in the divine books, in the way the companions did, it is as they are guided. If they believe in everything but not how the companions did so, they are misguided. Yani the companions, the Sahaba alayhim ridwan, are those people that Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they are the people who are guided. The companions are the test of faith for all humans and jinns. So, Pyare Islam Bhaiyo, Hazrat Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just a bit of introduction about this great Sahabi. Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first king in the Islamic history. He was the son of the famous Meccan personality Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, you must have heard many stories about Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. During the conquest of Makkah, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam. Hazrat Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known as Abu Abdul Rahman, whilst Nasiruddin and Nasirul Haq are his titles. He was born in Makkah 5 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his prophethood. So you say that before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 35 years old when Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu was born. He was tall, had a beautiful fair complexion, and harbored immense aura. He would apply henna, mehndi, to his beard and had a hair. He was forbearing, dignified, wealthy, a leader of people, graceful and fair. Hussein bin Muhammad Diyar rahmatullah alayhi said, Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was an awe-inspiring, insightful, brave, generous and forbearing king. He accepted Islam in the 6th Hijri on the day of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was agreed. The companions were the exceptionally reliable people to whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entrusted responsibility of writing the Quran. Yani whenever the Quran was revealed, there were certain companions that would write the Quran. In Sahaba ikram ka ye kaam tha ki wo Quran Pak ko likhte the. And he says, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Jibreel alayhi salam visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, give my salam to Muawiyah, for he is a trustee of the Quran and revelation. Yani, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam would give salam to Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was entrusted by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to write the Quran. Obviously, in them days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would gather the companions together and he would read the Quran, and certain companions were given the duty to write them down. And whilst writing the Quran, many of the Sahaba ikram would learn the Quran and become hafiz of the Quran. It says that Hazrat Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the brother of Ummul Mu'mineen Umme Habiba. Who is Umme Habiba? She is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in that case, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the books of Islam, the scholars have called him Khalul Mu'mineen, the uncle of the believers, because he was the brother, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are known as the mother of the believers, Ummahatul Mu'mineen. So if they are the mothers of the believers, and Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was the brother of Umm Habiba, he was known the uncle of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to Umm Habiba, his wife. Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also there. And his sister Umm Habiba was combing her hair. Yani combing his hair. Upon seeing this love between the brother and sister, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared, O Umm Habiba, do you love your brother Muawiyah? She replied, Ya Rasulallah, he is my brother. How can I not love him? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Allah and his messenger also love Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had immense love for him as well. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, a man destined for paradise will come to you shortly. Yani ek wo shakhs jo jannat mein jayega wo abhi thodi der tumhare paas aayega. He will come to you. Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu then appeared. The next day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the same, yani a man will come to you shortly, he is destined to go to paradise. And in walked in Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The third day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the same again, and again Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu then appeared, yani he was given three glad tidings of paradise by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Abu Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam made the following dua for Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Dekhiye hum dua karte hain na, ya Allah azza wa jal give us the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya Allah azza wa jal guide us for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yahan par pyare aqa alaihi salatu wassalam, he is making dua for Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah. He says Allahumma ja'alhu hadiyan mahdiyan wahdi bihi. O Allah, make Muawiyah a guide, render him guided and guide through him. Yani ya Allah inko hadi bana aur inko mahdi bana. Hadi means the one who guides and mahdi means the one who is guided as well. Subhanallah. So from here you can imagine, you know, these are different ranks of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every companion has their own ranks. No one can, you know, beat each other's ranks. You know, for example, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is my brother in the dunya and the hereafter. And then in another hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that every prophet had two ministers in the world, and my two ministers in the world are Umar and Abu Bakr. So every companion has their own ranks given to them by Allah Azza wa Jal. Now here, the scholars, they say there are three types of people. Teen kisam ke log hote hain, three types of people. Number one, those who are upon guidance yet do not guide others. They are servants of Allah who have distanced themselves from creation. They live and worship in caves and far away places. They are guided, but they do not guide others. Yani they live alone, but they are pure people, they are pious people, but they can't guide other people. You log jungle mein rehte hain, they live in the caves, Musliman hain, Allah Allah karte hain. They are pious people, they are guided, but they don't guiding others. Number two, there are some who guide others, invite them to righteousness, deliver speeches and give good advice, but they do not guide it themselves and commit sin. So one type of a person is, he guides other people. He tells other people, don't do that, don't do this, but he doesn't act upon himself. That is why a person who does speeches, a person who is in the authority where he is telling people, needs to look at himself as well. And when you are trying to guide someone else, make sure you are not misguided yourself. The third type of person are those people who are upon guidance and guide others. This is the most superior rank. So one of them is they are guided, but they can't guide. The next one, they are guiders, but they lose themselves. And the third type of people, they are guided and they guide other people. That's what we all need to be. We all need to be those people that guide others. So, Pyare Sambhaiyo, who's the first person that we should start to guide? Ourselves. We should be looking at ourselves. Hum pyare Islam bhaiyo, we're all, including myself as well, and I'll talk about myself. We're always telling people, ye na karo, ye na karo, ye na karo. And then behind backs, when people are not looking, we're still doing the same. Social media, don't go on social media. Don't do this, don't do that. Now when we go home, I'll probably do it myself. What's the point me telling you? You know, what's the point me telling you not to do it when I'm doing it myself? So aaj hum kahe, do we not say to our children, go to the masjid? We got so many parents in the madrasa, and I meet so many parents during the day. You know, can you we even one extent, I had a parent with a cigarette in his hand. He had a cigarette in his hand. Cigarette na piya, change nahi hone. Ji theek hai, don't worry. How can I say to him, don't smoke when you're smoking in front of him? How can I say to him that cigarette is not good for you when you are smoking yourself? So if I am telling my children, putar, read the Quran, Quran padhya kar. I've never ever read the Quran in years and months. You meet a lot of people, and a lot of people do intention. When Ramadan comes, I'm going to read the Quran. I'm not asking you to put your hands up. Have you made that intention as well? Yeah, we've all made this intention. When Ramadan chand nazar aaya, janab Quran maade thai. Lekin kya usi chand nazar asi Eid na ta Quran ajay maade thai koi nahi. Yeah, we'll see the moon for Eid, but the Quran is still not with me. You know why that is? We made a lot of promises, and every year we make these promises. I'm talking to those that do make these. Alhamdulillah, many of you would, mashallah, act upon that. Let me tell you, if you have not yet started to read the Quran, there's 99.9% chance you'll not open it in Ramadan. If we do not open the Quran, 11 months, and it's, you know, pyare samay, one I say, hum apne upar zulm karte hain. Yakeen maniye, we do zulm. And then the other thing is that we do zulm on our parents as well. Why? Because our parents are the ones that made us go to the masjid. Alhamdulillah, they spend money, they spend time. Aaj agar kisi se poocha jaye, why do you work so hard? Why do you work a 12-hour shift? Why do you work a 15-hour shift? Why do you have to, you know, logon ki baatein sunni padti hain? Someone runs away with your money, you know, but you can't do anything. But har kisi se poochhe na, kyun karte hain? Aulaad ke liye. Sab aise hi hai na. We do it for our families, we do it for our children with a good intention so that they could have an easy life. Our forefathers, we all come from the same place. Our forefathers left our country of birth. They left the country of birth and they came here in this country so that me and you can have a good life. Agree? Yes, that's why we came. And Alhamdulillah, they did us a great favor. They built us masjids. They did everything for us. Aaj jo masjidain bani hain, ye hamare buzurgon ki kamai hai. They came here, they worked. My dad worked for 36 hours once. And I've heard so many stories like that. Why were they earning that money? So that we could send the money back home and our children, our families could have an easy life. And they worked really hard. Many people, I know a few people that I've seen and met, they lost their limbs. Why? What happened? I was working in the factory and my arm got trapped in the machine and it got chopped off. Yeah? Family doesn't know that. They kept it a secret. They go through so many problems. They go through so many issues. Yet for who? For their families. And then when that father or that mother, when they die, in return, what should we do for them? We should read the Quran for them. We should do Isale Sawab for them. I went to a Khatam Sharif. And it was their father's annual khatam. Salana khatam tha. To maine unse poocha, how much have you read? There was a lot of food there. A lot of people, loads of people were there. And they gave me a little paper. And it was written on there. Itna padhya, itna padhya, itna padhya, itna padhya. And I said, there's no Quran written here. Quran nahi padha. Kehte Quran dasti anch nahi koi nahi. We don't know how to read the Quran. So that father who supported you all through his life, 1 year after he's died, we can't even read the Quran for him. Wo ma, she does so much for us, but yet when she dies, we don't even do anything for them. Hum khud Quran kyun nahi padte? Why do my children not read the Quran? Why do my family not read the Quran? Why do I have to pick up my phone and say, Paijan, koi Quran padhe hue hai ne? Koi Quran? I'm not saying it's wrong. Alhamdulillah, it's right. But why is it that we've not read anything for them? The reason is, Pyare Islam Bhaiyo, because we've not made our mind. Hamara wo aadat hi nahi thi. Yes, we all went to the masjid. We all read the Quran. But 20, 30 years down the line, I'm sorry to say, we do not know how to read the Quran. The way we read the Quran is not according to tajweed. Yakeen maniye, I went to a masjid, wahan par khatam sharif tha. So Alhamdulillah, unhone kya kiya? They called people well 1 hour before the dua, which was brilliant. Masjid kitni thi? Khali. Tray char bande. Kuna time hi koi yara jusa khane ne time dua usi asa hi khai asa. This is sadly, this is what mentality is. When you say to someone, come 1 hour before, sit and read the Quran, I guarantee you, ullah pata lagsi kede mohabbat karne. That's when you find out who loved my father. That's when you find out who loved my mother, when they come and read the Quran. And I was in that masjid, and one person, he had the sipara like this as well, khula hua tha. So I sat next to him, because I knew him, and I knew him very well. And I goes, mashallah, which para are you reading? I don't know. I goes, okay, that's para number 24. He goes, oh, okay. I goes, mashallah. Where are you reading? He read about 7-8 pages. And I goes, mashallah, you're a fast reader, you know. He goes, alhamdulillah. I goes, so just read that line for me. And he goes, I don't know how to read. So what you been doing then? So when these two people were sat there reading the Quran, he was sat there just doing that. Ye aaj hamari halat hai. And I'm sorry to say, this will not be just this person. There'll be many people. You know, I'm trying to make my own mindset as well. This is what we are going through, the reality today. And as a Muslim, we need to open our eyes and we need to come to the reality. Well, this is why we are seeing our majority of the masajids, they are empty. I went to, you know, the community that we serve mostly is Asian. I went to Dublin. You know how many people we had for Fajr Namaz? 70 people. For Zuhr Namaz, we had 100 people. For Asr Namaz, we had 120. For Maghrib, we had 350. Imam Sahib, for Zuhr, he was back there. Asr, we had to move him forward. Maghrib, we had to go right into the corner because the whole masjid was packed out and it was an attendance of 350 people. Maza aya namaz padne mein. Subhanallah. Hamari masjidu mein pyare sambhaiyo, I'm asking everyone, your local masjid, where do you read your Fajr Salah? Do you go to your local masjid to offer your Fajr Salah? Or do you just offer it at home, go to work, or you go back to sleep again? Agar ye hamari halat hai, then please be fair, be honest to yourself. What's going to happen to our family? What's going to happen? I read the nikah of one Islami bhai, 26 years old, he wasn't a child, it was his nikah. And whilst I was reading the kalima, I had to repeat, you know, the second kalima, ashhadu Allah. He couldn't even pronounce the word ashhadu. He was saying shadu, you know, ashhadu. So I was like taking a class. Main putra tha nikah padhana hai, class na chalana hai. Ashhadu. So now if you say to someone, I've got this person, you know, a few years ago I read his nikah. He rang me up in about 11 o'clock at night. Are you going to read the kalima or me? I goes, do you know the first three kalme? He goes, I only know the first one. I goes, don't worry, I'll read you, repeat after me. If this person is getting married, he does not know the three kalmes. When he has children, what is he going to teach them? Koshish karein, pyare Islam bhaiyo. Ye dard mera apna hai. And I'm talking to myself as well. We need to do something. We need to stand up to the reality. Niyat karein, inshallah. Agar Quran shuru nahi kiya, Quran padhna shuru kar de abhi se. If you do not know how to read the Quran, Dawat Islami has a Madrasatul Madina Balighan adults class and is free of charge. Aap aaye, baithe yahan par Fizan-e Madina mein aaye, and those viewers who are watching at home, wherever city you are from, there will be Fizan-e Madina, there will be a Madrasatul Madina Balighan. Sit with the Islami bhais and inshallah they will teach you the Quran as well. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward us in this world and in the hereafter. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us the true love of the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Said, O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Said.